today on Real Radio.
I hope there's nobody in this church that has the really hypocritical view, if you think about it, how they're going to be so super spiritual that they would never pray for themselves. No, that is unbiblical. Ask God to bless His way. God wants to bless us.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack, in a message called God Bless You, continues in a series called Galatians, Breaking Free from the Bonds of Religion. We'll be covering Galatians chapter 3 today, verses 10 through 14. How can we who are sinful by nature come to a God who is holy by nature? The only way to come to God is through His gospel of grace. We often say God blessed me with a great job or good health or awesome family and friends. And while that may indeed be true, it would be good or even right for us to understand that God's blessings flow from one source, and that is the goodness of God. So it was the passion of the Apostle Paul to convey to the lost world the blessing of God's gospel of grace. Today, Pastor Jack tells us that God blesses us by delivering us from physical and spiritual death. The law has no power to save us, for if we break any of the law, we have broken all of the law. We cannot earn God's favor by being good. It's only the goodness and grace of God that can save us. And now, in his lesson called God Bless You, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
Grab your Bibles and turn, if you would, to Galatians chapter 3. And we're marching through this chapter. I hope not too fast. There's so much here. We don't want to run through it and miss some of these things that are actually so powerful, so deep, and such a passionate plea of the Apostle Paul's, that it has been said concerning this letter that the book of Romans, Paul wrote from his head, meaning it's very intellectual, that the book of Romans is very powerful to the thinking and reason and logical mind. But it's the book of Galatians, they say, that Paul wrote from his heart. He uses words in this book that are unlike any other word usage or construction that Paul authored in any one of his epistles. It's a book that generates to us a great bit of interest because of Paul's passion. And so this morning we come to verses 10 to 14 that teach us this. He continues and he says, "For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, 'Cursed is everyone who does not continue in all things that are written in the book of the law to do them.' But that no one is justified by the law in the sight of God is evident, for the just shall live by faith. Yet the law is not of faith, but the man who does them shall live by them. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, 'Cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree.' That the blessing of Abraham," that's the key, everybody, "the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith." What Paul is teaching us here, as he's been teaching us in Galatians 3, is God wants you blessed. God wants you to receive the blessings that He has in store. Now listen carefully. You might say this morning, "Pastor, I think it's kind of self-serving to ask God to bless you, yourself. I would never pray that prayer." Well, what's wrong with you? Why not? You should pray. In fact, didn't the psalmist and didn't Jesus tell us that we're to pray our Father, which art in heaven, right? Didn't he say that we're to pray asking him to provide for us daily bread? Didn't Jabez pray to God saying, and by the way, Jabez's name means one who causes pain. Boy, how'd you like your mother give you that name? Well, as Jabez grew up, Jabez cries out to God and he says, "God," and what he's praying is, "Make my life a blessing. I don't want to be associated with pain anymore." The great prayer of Jabez. Well, listen, we are to pray. He's our Father, which art in heaven. God wants us blessed. So I hope there's nobody in this church that has the really hypocritical view, if you think about it, how they're going to be so super spiritual that they would never pray for themselves. No, that is unbiblical. Ask God to bless His way. God wants to bless us. Somebody might say this morning, Pastor, I really want to go to heaven. How do I do that? And we'll lead you in the prayer and you can accept Christ. And then perhaps afterwards you'll turn and you'll say, am I really going to go to heaven now? You know, am I sure? Oh, you can be sure. Listen, God wants you in heaven more than you want to go to heaven. Did you ever think of that? God wants you blessed more than you want to be blessed. We so limit God in our thinking, don't we? If God doesn't do it a certain way, we think there's no other way or whatever. He wants to work His way. I believe that there are three blessings that are here before us that we need to hear of this morning as we go through our study, that God wants to bless us. And number one, jot it down if you would, it is this, that God wants to bless you, number one, by delivering us, by delivering you, by delivering mankind from death. Emotional death, spiritual death, physical death. And I'll explain quickly what we mean about that. But look with me in verse 10. Spiritual death. He says, Paul is teaching, and remember, it's directed to the legalist of the day, those who are saying that you can believe in Jesus, but you must keep the law of God. You must be circumcised. You must go through the practice of certain dietary laws. You've got to keep certain rituals and rules of men. He says, for as many are as of the works of the law are under the curse. Well, that's powerful because he immediately introduces us to what spiritual death is all about. The Bible teaches us that because God is holy, He's holy, He's just. Yes, He's a loving God. Yes, He's a forgiving God, but He's not unjust. He's not unholy. So a holy God must judge sin. And sin has its payment. And the payment of sin, the Bible says, is what? Death. The Bible tells us in the book of Genesis, when Adam and Eve sinned, that death entered into the world. Sin brings forth death. We are clear, says the scriptures, that we've all been born spiritually dead. We need to be born again. We need to be brought to life, as it were, by God. So when Paul says here that for as many as were under, or as many as are the works of the law are under the curse, he's declaring that the law cannot bring life. The law has no power. If you are bound to a legalistic performance with God, you're in deep trouble because you are flirting with departing from the grace of God that saves you. If you are trying to adhere to some performance, maybe you've been brought up to keep the golden rule. Well, that's nice, and I'm sure that your neighbors appreciate that. But if you begin for a moment to think that by virtue of the law, you can somehow gain favor with God, you're in great error. Why? Because you're flirting with that prospect of remaining in that spiritually dead world. You need to be born again. You need to be living your life by the grace of God, not by the law of God. And there are a lot of people, I would venture to say, there are more people religious in the world who try to meet God's standards by being good than those who believe in Him. And yet the Bible tells us that we are blessed with believing Abraham, not obedient Abraham. But listen, should we be obedient to God? Yes, but only after we're saved. We cannot obey God until we get saved. I mean, you could be the most religious person in the world, but that's all you are, is religious. God cannot accept your religious act, as we'll see in the scripture, because we are fundamentally flawed. And oh boy, nobody loves to hear this. The Bible tells us that we were born in sin. We have sin within us, and it comes out. As we grow up, it comes out. But we were born alienated from God. And we have to be born again because we are born spiritually dead. In verse 10, the Bible here says, Paul uses the word works. This is a tremendous word, argon in the Greek. It means the deeds of the flesh, the doing of the flesh. It's whatever effort we make in this skin, in this world. The word means to labor at hard work. The word means to toil as one who is under a sentence of death. The chain gang. Maybe in your mind, you see the picture of somebody wearing the black and white striped chain gang apparel, and they're chained together because they've been sentenced to hard labor, and they're cracking stones or rocks along the railroad or the roadway. They have been sentenced to death, and in the meantime, they will work their way to death. The Bible tells us right here in Galatians 3:10, for as many as are of the works, that is, working in a toilless manner under a condemnation of the law, are under the curse. Isn't that a tremendous, that's a strong word, isn't it? Again, the passion of Paul comes out. He is declaring that you cannot earn your position with God because we are spiritually dead. We need to be born again. Here's what's interesting. When a person is spiritually dead, they will relate to God. They won't deny God. In fact, again, they'll be very religious possibly, but they're spiritually dead. But they will relate to God on a humanistic level. Performance. You scratch my back, I'll scratch yours. They carry that over to God. Look, I'll be obedient, you bless me. Are you ready for this? God blesses even when people are not obedient because he's good. Do you know that? Now, you don't like to hear that because you may be bound up in a legalistic relationship with God. But I got news for you. Is God not blessing the worst of sinners even right now somewhere in the world? Didn't God bless Paul who said he was the chief of sinners? He did. Does God's blessing then mean that he's turned a blind eye to one's sin? No. Listen, are you alienated from God? Are you not a Christian? Are you not living? There's no evidence that you're a Christian in how you live your life, and yet your life is blessed and prospering, and you look around and you go, well, God must be approving. Look at me, I'm a millionaire. Oh, my friend, don't you know that the Bible says that it's the goodness of God that leads a man to repentance? Don't think because you're scoring on that exam that God somehow turned a blind eye to your cheating upon that exam. He's not unjust. He's holy. And the Bible says here that his law demands perfection. But we begin that pursuit of being good imperfect. That's why Jesus Christ came and died for us. What about this concerning not only spiritual death, but physical death? It says, for it is written, cursed is everyone, as he goes on to say, everyone who is under the demand of the law. But this word cursed, we could say today, condemned. Condemned is the man who is pursuing the law to try to keep it. It is written, and it's a reference to the Old Testament scriptures. Jot it down if you would. Paul is referring to Deuteronomy 27:26. Deuteronomy chapter 27, verse 26, where it says, cursed is the one who does not confirm all the words of this law. And ignorantly, all the people said amen when they heard Moses make that statement. They all said amen. Now, ignorantly, I mean, they thought they could perform the law, but justly that the law is holy. Watch this. Deuteronomy 7:26 says, cursed is the one who does not practice or continue in all of the law. In Hebrew and in Greek and in English. Guess what the word all means? Anybody? All. Everything. Say, well, Pastor, okay, but you know what? I've been really good all my life. I've been really good. Now, I haven't been perfect, but I've been really good. So, what do you mean by that? Well, I know that Jesus died for sinners. But when you say sinner, you're talking about, ugh, you know, yucky people. I mean, they're just sinners. Well, then what are you? Well, I'm a pretty good person. I see. So what you're suggesting is that God would grade on a curve regarding eternity in light of his son's sacrifice of his life on the cross. So from the 99ers to the 89ers, down to the 49ers, he's got a rank and scale. All the really good, religious, hardworking, sweet-loving people on this, they get this part of heaven. And all the people from 89 down to, say, 63, they get that kind of heaven. And 69 to 49, they get this part of heaven. And where do you cut it off at? Well, we cut it off at 38%. Wait a minute. You cut it off at 38% because you're at 38. What about the guy sitting next to you who's at 37? See, it's human logic. The law simply declares all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The law can't do anything else than that. Did you know that? People, when they say, oh, listen, this is important. When people say, well, I'm not really bad, and when I stand before God, my good will outweigh my bad. You know what they're asking? They're asking something that is impossible because God has established the law. It's immovable. Did you know that? It's perfect. That's why Jesus came, the scripture says, to fulfill the law. Do you know why he did? Because he can. Jesus didn't get up in the morning and say, okay, Father, I really need your help. Because, you know, I'm going really good. It's been a great year and a half. And I've kept all your law thus far. I need your help to get through today, though. We got a big day today. No. Jesus kept the law because he can keep the law because his very nature is perfect. He didn't have to try to keep the law. The Bible says he kept it because he's perfect. Now watch this. If you're at 98 and your friend's at 62, and you're grading on a curve that you're hoping that your good's going to outweigh your bad if you're going to stand before God without Christ, get a load of this. The law has no person. See, you're hoping that the law can somehow be nice, that the law can accept an apology. When the law is perfect, it only has one demand. So it is so silly for human performance for people to say, well, you know what? I hope when it's all over that I'll make it. You know, I'm trying really hard. Oh, you're lost. You're in great trouble, says the Bible. Because the law, you're asking the law to be personable. Do you understand what I'm saying? You're asking the law to be, as it were, a person. You're asking the law to maybe hear your argument, and it goes, oh, I got it. Of course, I'll take your 99%. It can't. If you go out this door, we have a 2,000-pound Jerusalem stone. It was cut out of the hills of Jerusalem. We had it shipped over here. It's sitting there right now waiting for the new foyer. We're going to put it in there. It's going to be very cool looking. It's 2,000 pounds. You can't pick it up. Even if you try to pick it up, with that kind of pressure, it's so sharp that it will probably cut your skin. You're not moving that stone. You can talk to that rock. It's not going to say anything back to you. It's immovable. If you exert yourself against it, it's going to hurt you. It's a perfect picture of the law. It has its standard. It has its weight. It has its nature. You can't change it. That's why Jesus Christ came. Because we could not change all that scenario. But he, in his perfection, provided a blessing for us, salvation. Physical death. When the word here in verse 10 says, cursed is everyone, it's talking about those who were convicted of a capital offense in Israel. And by the way, Israel, they do not hang people. They do not do that in torture or death. Crucifixion was invented by the Romans. Before the Romans, impalement by Antiochus Epiphanes and others. Even today, did you see news? You'll see these lawbreakers in Kabul, Afghanistan. And they kill the man, and then they hang him in the city center for days. Now, for us, it's gross, and it should be gross, and it's weird. But they will tell you, we do this because he was a lawbreaker, so nobody will think about breaking the law. As that man's hanging there, he's a declaration of the unforgiving law. The Bible says the law came through Moses, but what? Grace and truth came through Christ. So before you embark upon your crusade to be living a perfect life without God, you need to think of that, first of all, that the law will not accept efforts of ours in that manner. It's very important that we understand that. Emotional death. Verse 10, it says, everyone who does not continue in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. This is fantastic. And when I say fantastic, I really mean fantastic, because if you listen carefully, it will set you free. When he says everyone who does not continue in all things that are written about the law, written of the law, of course, the meaning is that they're cursed. Watch this. Emotional. Emotional death. Jesus wants to bless you to free from emotional death. What do I mean by that? A person who is in a legalistic relationship with God, they are so somber and solemn, and they're just no fun to be around, quite frankly. Everything's a heavy. And they wear black clothes. They drive a white car, no chrome. If they're a woman, makeup is from the pit. I'm not going to comb my hair because that would tell people that I'm vain. I mean, where does it, people get into this performance thing? You know that, you know, we love the furniture and stuff that come from the Amish people, and it's a beautiful place where they live. But if you can get an Amish person to talk to you, that's quite a feat right there. How are they going to get to heaven? And it'll break your heart when they tell you. There's a reason why they wear black and they live the way that they do, because they think somehow it's going to earn favor with God. And it's a heartbreak. It doesn't work that way. But can you imagine the emotional pressure that people are under? When people go door to door and peddling a cult, do you know the pressure they're under? To perform? To work hard to do and do and do under the toil of some sort of sentence of death if they don't? When the Bible tells us, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Yesterday, the Jehovah's Witnesses were going door to door in my neighborhood, and they did their normal thing. They went to my neighbor, to my neighbor, to my neighbor. They skipped my house, and then they go to my neighbor. And I'm waiting. I got my Bible in the garage, and I'm like... and they're coming. And 5 years ago, they came. They left. They brought five guys back, seven of them. And they've never been back since. But they went to my neighbor's house. So my neighbor, I saw them stand at the door. So I walked up the street so my neighbor could see me, and I'm going like this. So then I went to the neighbor where they're heading next to. I went to Bob's house, and I said, Bob, when they get to your house, call me, yell something, or have them come over to my house. And he said, they still won't come to your house, huh? But listen, do you know the burden they're under? To work? To perform? To earn? I love them. I love them. Sometimes I wonder if I don't love them more than they love themselves because they won't listen to the truth. But certainly God loves them more. He wants them to know him. Verses 11 to 12 teach us that God wants to bless you and given you hope. Hope, yes, verses 11 and 12 tell us about hope. But that no one is justified by the law. We should all go, listen, if we had a right mind about it, we should go, oh, isn't that good? See, how do you hear that? Do you hear it like this? No one's justified by the law. Yippee! Or do you hear it like this? Nobody's justified by the law. And you go, ooh.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a message called God Bless You. Thanks for listening. And our hope is that you understand that God's blessings, they cannot be earned. They are freely given out by the goodness of God. God Bless You is part of Pastor Jack's series called Galatians, Breaking Free from the Bonds of Religion, a series that brings to light our struggle between grace and good deeds. For we are justified through faith, and not of our works, should any of us boast. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Radio. Here's a great idea. Go to your app store and download the Real Life app. It's a great way for you to be encouraged and take advantage of the tools and resources that are available as you grow in your relationship with God with the Real Life app. The Bible is right there available for you on the app, mobile friendly. You can read, you can listen, and the one-year Bible plan is right there too. So get involved with the Real Life app. Go to your app store and download the Real Life app for your smartphone or tablet. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio, made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David J. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.